presented by Invest in Our Land.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Friday, May 24th, and here's what's driving the day. There's an important scoop at Politico today from Alex Ward about how the U.S. is preparing for a, quote, prominent role in post-war Gaza. Alex got his hands on a classified document that outlines a much more ambitious role for the U.S. than was previously known. He writes, "The administration is working to have multiple partners inside and outside the U.S. converge around ideas to stabilize post-war Gaza, namely to maintain security and avoid an insurgency that could plunge the enclave into more turmoil." Very important piece. Recommend you check it out. Next up, with Senator Rick Scott jumping in the race to succeed Mitch McConnell as Senate Republican leader, I dropped by Scott's office yesterday to chat with him about the contest, which already features two well-established contenders, John Thune and John Cornyn. You can listen to the full conversation on this week's episode of Playbook Deep Dive. I talked to Scott about why he's running, what Donald Trump told him about his decision on Wednesday, his relationship with key Republicans such as Mitch McConnell and Susie Wiles, his policy agenda on foreign aid, abortion, entitlements, and Israel if he's elected leader, Trump's running mate choices, and the importance of having a purpose in life. You can find that show wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, Donald Trump spoke at a rally in the South Bronx last night. National political correspondent Meredith McGraw was there, and she joins me this morning to explain why the event was a little different than the typical Trump rally. Good morning, Meredith.
Hey, Ryan.
All right, so you were at the big Trump rally in the South Bronx last night. Obviously, a different location than we're used to seeing former President Trump. You have been to your fair share of Trump rallies. How is this one similar and different?
So this felt different and it looked different. The South Bronx is not a place where you would typically find Donald Trump. And I was so struck by the diversity of the crowd. It obviously reflects the diversity of New York City. There were Hasidic Jews, there were Blacks, Latinos. You could hear people speaking Spanish. People were smoking cigars. And there were families there who were wearing traditional like African outfits. It looked so markedly different than any of the rallies that I've been to in places that are predominantly white, like, you know, pockets of Ohio or, you know, Iowa.
Yeah, this does not sound like a Midwest rally at all.
No, not at all. And you can sense that, like, Trump recognized that too in the stuff that he talked about at the rally. And he also just seemed so excited to be back on his home turf. You know, he grew up in Queens. He spent 2 years of his life as a student at Fordham in the Bronx. And he spent a lot of time, honestly, just talking about his life in New York as a real estate developer. He was throwing out names like, you know, Mayor Bloomberg and Ed Koch, and he was talking about different developments that he'd been a part of and how they mixed concrete and a lot of the stuff that you don't really hear Trump talk about typically. But because he's in New York, because this is where he's from, he seemed really eager to go into the nitty gritty of the image of New York that he has always had and the, you know, his claims of what the city has become too.
Interesting. So he talked a lot about New York and sort of his version of New York. Was it different in any way in terms of there was a lot of talk about this rally being pitched to audiences that the Trump campaign is trying to improve with and actually is improving with, such as Black voters and other, you know, non-white voters in general. Was anything he said pitched differently to appeal to those other groups?
Yeah, you know, his campaign really sees an opportunity with Black and Hispanic voters, especially younger Black and Hispanic men. And he spent a lot of the rally talking about immigration, talking about the economy. And, you know, recent polls has shown that he's made gains in recent years, especially with Latino voters. And he made the claim that minorities have been particularly hit hard by inflation. And this being New York, a city that has had a pretty sizable influx of migrants that have come here to this city. He spent a lot of time talking about the border and immigration too. He recited the snake poem, and, you know, he talked about how he thinks, you know, New Yorkers, a lot of the people who were at the rally, find the illegal immigration unacceptable. And when he talked about massive deportation, that was one of the big applause lines of the night from this crowd.
Interesting. All right. So pitched a little bit differently to than some of the rallies. The crowd was different. A lot of New York riffs. There's usually another stream of consciousness element of a Trump rally. What are the things he said that will step on all of those other things? Anything come to mind?
So it wasn't so much what he said that I thought was interesting as it was what he left unsaid. He didn't mention Nikki Haley, who just recently said that she was going to vote for him. He really didn't go into January 6th or really any of his legal troubles. He brushed over that pretty generally. I think he briefly mentioned the judge in his New York trial, but he really didn't talk about that at length like he often does at his rallies. So those are a few things that I thought was actually kind of striking considering the news and the fact that Trump has been tied up here in New York City in courtrooms every day. And he wasn't talking about that at length at this rally.
Meredith, thank you so much for breaking that down. Great stuff.
Thanks, Ryan.
And for your schedule today, the Senate is in and the House is out. President Biden will head, where else? Back to Wilmington, Delaware, this afternoon. The music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tanzel-Suddeth is our podcast producer. Annie Reese is managing producer. Mike DeBonis and Zach Stanton are our editors. And Playbook Daily Briefing will be off Monday for the holiday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Tuesday next week. We are expecting a verdict in the Trump trial. It's going to be a big week. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.